welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The Great Awakening, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Here in the second installment of our series, Exploring Universal Law, we'll be discussing the Law of Intent with Sanat Kumara. The alignment of our every thought, action, and relationship with our sacred purpose is what the Law of Intent is about. And I look forward to expanding my own understanding of what the power of our intent is, especially when we offer ourselves in service. I can't imagine there are many at this point who haven't purposely set their intention on a desired outcome, but doing so may only be the tip of the iceberg for us. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I've been looking forward to this topic because it seems that most of the work that we humans are engaged in right now is involving our intentions as a collective. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie. Good to be here. Excuse me. A couple of things before we get started. First off, I've been having a little bit of a hoarse voice, so if I clear my throat like I just did or cough, please forgive me. Okay. But really what I wanted to share with our listeners and to thank you, I received in the mail after a crazy weekend of teaching the most wonderful gift of a cobalt blue, like a very unusual blue whale tail, and it's just magnificent. So thank you. Thank you so much. What an unexpected gift, and it's just a delight to have. I tell you guys, everybody out there listening, is that these, I don't want to call it a piece of jewelry because it's like a sacred object. They carry so much energy. So I strongly encourage you, have a look at Susie's site. See what talks to you.
Aw, thanks, Linda. I appreciate that. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought it up because there's a couple of different fabulous people that actually went out of their way to find the website because they heard us mention it on the radio. So I will just do that really quickly. It's www.whaletails.com. So, yeah, go check them out. That's awesome. Well, thanks, Linda.
You are welcome. And what was really interesting, I want to share a little bit about the weekend that I just had, which was a phenomenal. It was a healing weekend. It was teaching 13th octave Laho Chi to a wonderful small group of people from all over. We even had one guest that came all the way from New Zealand, but from Colorado, California, different parts of Florida. So it was really a wonderful group. Now, the history of the Council of Love gatherings has been that we always receive a special gift, and that's why when we talk on Heavenly Blessings about the enormous array of gifts that we have, they've all come through mostly through these various classes. So every single class the council has ever taught has had a unique gift. Well, the gift this weekend was a gift from the Divine Mother of this activation placement of a tanzanite, which is that purpley blue, tanzanite cabochon, which is the faceted but not the polished gem, right at the hairline. So if you went from your third eye and you went right up to your hairline, that's the gift. And I've posted this channeling on the Council of Love website because it's such an incredible gift. And the gift is the ability to see with the eyes and the wisdom and the heart of the mother. So to be able to look at things, each other, the planet, situations, ourselves, through her eyes.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So that was an amazing gift, and we worked and we played with it during the course of the weekend. But when I came home and then had this great whale tail, Susie, that was basically the same color, I thought, okay, I need to mention this to all our friends.
Oh, wow, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Really cool.
When the Divine Mother had come on, I don't remember what show it was, but recently, and we had a discussion about, I'm so sorry, I'm blanking out. That's terrible. It was
absolutely
about exactly that.
Probably because Sanat Kumara is pushing us along.
Stop the chit-chat, girls, and let's get on with it.
Yeah. And as I was saying to you just before the show got started, is as I'm immersing myself, as I know we all are, in this new series, even though this is just week two, I feel like we really dove deep into the lake or into the ocean. And we're diving into this world of universal law, which is, well, it's what human law we would like to think, and it will be formulated on. But they're all interrelated. This isn't just, this is one law, this is another law, this is another law. They are all so integrated. It's a tapestry. And so even though today we're talking about, you know, the law of intent, the universal law of intent, even in my meditation beforehand, I was thinking how it just falls so naturally and is complementary to what we talked about last week, which was the law of purpose, and how all the laws, you know, you're going to hear week after week, 14 weeks, how this is really all about balance. And not just about balance within us, but balance throughout the universe. I mean, this is unbelievable that the higher realms are coming and saying to us, okay, we really want you to understand how things work.
Mm-hmm.
These are the precepts, the truth that have been given to us by the divine. And we know that you're ready not only just to study it, but to really integrate it and to understand it. It's such a gift.
It really is a gift. And I remember what I was going to say. The question was, when we have trouble loving someone, and the suggestion was to allow, and they asked the mother to come in and love through us, to allow her energy in to do that, and then it sets the pathway, and, you know, it becomes easier for us to do that in future.
Isn't that just so true?
Yeah.
And it's particularly true if we can see that person that irritates the heck out of us through her eyes.
Yes, exactly. I have actually practiced that, and it's a beautiful and divine and wonderful thing that's easy. It's even easy, you know, and all it takes is just opening ourselves and allowing it, being available to that possibility, you know.
It changes everything.
It does. It really does. Shifts in an instant. And that's another thing that I want to think about is, or mention, is that we humans have a tendency to think that we really have to concentrate hard and things take a long time and focus. And focus really is important, but this spirit work takes place in an instant. We think more is better, and sometimes we get it right away and then we can quit and go on to the next thing and just trust that it's done.
Yeah, I think that's very true. There are things that occur literally in the blink of an eye, and sometimes we jump up and down and say hooray, and then other times we don't believe it. We think, oh
yeah,
no, that's too fast. And this comes back to an issue of self-worth.
Right.
But we pick at it until it drives us crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So when we're working with the universal law of intent, it's the very blink of an eye intention,
mm-hmm. right.
And the fulfillment of that intention, and it's the very, very long view, bringing you back to what is your intention for your life, for your existence, for your soul, for your unfoldment. So it's both.
Yeah,
and I know that when Sanat Kumara has taught us, Raj has taught us about the creation, and many others join in, but there are things that sometimes I very casually think, you know, I'd really like that. And then it just floats away like a little white puffy cloud that we let go during meditation, and I just don't think of it. And boom, it's right there.
Right.
And then, of course, there are things that I personally have been working on for years. And I'm holding the intention and just knowing that in the divine timing, not only in terms of the universe, but of Linda Dillon, it will come to pass.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's both.
Right. So you set the intention and you, you know, the instantaneous part is just that, you know, it's out there now, and the unfolding, we have to, you know, sometimes be a little bit patient about the unfolding part.
And you've mentioned a really important part is that you hold the intention and that it's out there. One of the things that the Council of Love has taught us is that when we have these desires, because when we refer to intention, we're really talking about creating what our heart desires. You know, and it may be a new tennis racket, or it may be world peace. But we're talking about holding, excuse me, the vision of what our heart desires. And what they have told us is that within our being, within our heart, within our actual, especially expanded DNA, and our physical DNA, our spiritual DNA, is that we would not have a desire if it was not part of our plan, our purpose, and our soul mission. Okay. That's huge.
It really is. It really is. And then it goes into trust, you know. Can we trust that information? And, you know, I'm all over it. I love it.
It is. It's because sometimes we think and we start to dream, and Archangel Michael, Sanat Kumara, Archangel Gabriel, everyone's encouraging us to dream big.
Yeah.
And we think, well, maybe I shouldn't be asking for something that big. Maybe, you know, that's not really part of my plan. But to be given that green light and to be told that if you have that idea, if you have that dream, I mean, and it's a dream of your heart, not just of your ego, then it's part of who you are. And it's out
yeah.
there. It's already out there.
Yeah, that's true. And you know what? When I first heard that information, I went as big as I could imagine, and that's pretty cosmic and huge. And I think that's the result is that my visions have become really huge and collective and global and, you know, dare I say universal, because I know that all the work that we do here is affecting, has ripples that go out into all of creation. We just don't realize the power that we have and the influence of what we're doing right now, how it goes out. We just have no idea, really.
We don't realize how big and how much power and how much we are creating consciously, unconsciously, subconsciously.
Yes.
And so what we're doing as part of being a fifth dimensional being is bringing that consciousness into the here and now reality. And that's how we're creating Nova Earth.
Yes.
And that's why we're being given the tools.
Yes.
Or the wherewithal to
right.
create Earth.
Exactly. To even tell us what's possible is a really big first step. So I'm sure that that's one of the purposes of all the channelings of things that are going to be happening for humanity, even though in terms of us being stuck in thinking in terms of time, okay, which they don't really have, so we think all this takes a long time, but we've been shown and we've been told about what's possible for us, and those are seeds. Those are seeds they're planting, just like we plant when we travel around and we talk to people out in the world. They may not be receptive immediately, but that's exactly what's been done with us. It's like, you know, as above, so below. We're doing what has been done for us. It's beautiful and perfect.
It is. It is. So one of the things that we're going to be doing, that I am guided to do, that Sanat Kumara Raj, and by the way, it's a very golden morning. I have mm-hmm. to tell you, as I sat down to meditate, and of course the energy of Sanat Kumara is very bright, shiny, gold. It's quite phenomenal. Excuse me. But in with that stepped Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Gabrielle, who is also very gold, only her gold is very much the Florentine, the deep, rich, burnished gold.
Right.
So we have a lot, Mother Mary has just made her presence known as well. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of company this morning. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we're going to be doing over the course of the weeks that we're working on this together is we're going to take a lot of trips back to the walls, that golden chamber of your heart. And we're going to be digging deeper and becoming more perceptive about what is written there. So because we did this exercise last week doesn't mean that you got the full Monty. This is something that we will do probably several times over the course of this series. And so, shall
get
we?
Get into it. Yes, we shall. All right, beautiful.
All right. So everybody, take a wonderful deep breath of gold. One of the things that we tend to forget when we are working with the rays, with the colors, is that every color has its own band of color and its own range and rainbow of color. So when we look at the gold, it comes from that almost shiny platinum color of Yahweh into the brilliant, shiny gold of Raj of Sanat Kumara, keeper of universal law, into that deep Florentine gold, that old gold. But don't forget the rose gold and the gold of black-eyed Susans and the center of daisies of citrine. So as we begin to relax, as you settle into your chair, your floor, your bed, your couch, your driver's seat, allow yourself, as we do our breathing, to breathe in that entire golden rainbow. The quality of gold is not only powerful, but it is warming. It is comforting, heartwarming. So relax. and let go of the day. Let go of the week that lies ahead, of all the things that you have to do on your list. And thank yourself. Thank yourself for taking this time, not only for you, but for us, for the collective, for humanity. We're in the home stretch. So bring down your shoulders. Relax your jaw. Relax your neck. Sink into your chair as if you weigh 2,000 pounds and you couldn't move if you wanted to. Relax those hips, your knees, your ankles, your feet. And let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of gold. And allow whatever color of the gold that comes to you. And simply breathe in through your nose and welcome it. Open your crown and see it descend into your head. And exhale the debris of illusion, of stress, of tension, of worry. And again, breathe in the gold and feel yourself bringing all that energy down into your heart. Deeper and deeper. Now resting and anchored in your heart. Together, let's go to the heart of Gaia, to the council fire. So feel your energy traveling down, down through your lower chakras, down your legs, out of your root chakra, down through the floor, cement, the foundation, through the soft earth of Mother Earth, down through the granite, through the rock, through the water or the gaseous layers, deeper. See yourself traveling down until you are at a portal, a window, a door. And go through that portal, where you see Gaia, our beloved archangel, our mother of earth, the custodian, standing by this beautiful golden campfire, the council fire. And see Gaia bend down and take one of these golden flames and place it directly in your heart. That you will carry her warmth and her wisdom as you travel during this earth life. Now feel yourself leaving, pulling back up through the void, the gaseous layers, the water, the granite, the earth, back through your foundation, your floor, your carpet. pulling that golden flame that you carry now into your heart. And feel that warmth and that golden glow. And go deeper with me. Go deeper into your heart. Breathe it in. And on the out-breath, go deeper. And at the bottom of your heart, the seat of your soul, see a tiny pinprick of light. And fly through that pinprick portal of light to the interior chambers of your heart. Go now. And as you enter into these chambers, you see that these are magnificent walls, and upon these walls are written symbols, sentences, ancient languages, formulas, and all of this is information that you have brought with you for you to access to assist you on your sacred journey. Now, previously, we have looked at this wall and you have discerned your sacred purpose. So remember that and anchor that as well. But today, we come to look for two things that relate to your intention for this lifetime. What was your intention in terms of your mission and purpose prior to returning to Earth? What was your plan, your agreement that you wrote on the walls of your heart prior to your return? So take a moment and read or feel or discern or listen, however you do this. Open your heart and listen and feel and read. What was your intention? And breathe. And anchor that knowing, not in just a deep meditative state, but ask it to be anchored also in your conscious waking awareness. What was your plan? What was your intention? Now we're going to move to the second piece of information that is useful for you? What is your intention for your life right now? What is the smaller piece? What is your intention in terms of your ascension, the completion of your ascension in this moment of now? Look at the walls of your heart. Do not let preconceptions be your answer. Allow this information to emerge rather than simply lay it out. And bring this knowing to your conscious awareness as well. And see how it is in direct alignment and balance with your overall intention for your life. See the divine perfection and your reflection of divinity in this. Now, with that knowing of both factors intact, simply gently open your eyes. Give thanks and gratitude for this wondrous insight. And we'll continue. Greetings, I am Sanat Kamara.
Welcome.
And welcome to you. Welcome to each and every one of you. And yes, I am your dear friend, Raj. Brother, teacher, and holder of the Law of One and of all. There is no creation that is meaningful in the sense of the universe or yourself without intention. Whether you choose to engage consciously and actively with the law of intent, or whether you simply choose to ignore it, does not mean that it is not in operation. And it is important, my dear hearts, that you fully understand this when I am speaking of the various 13 universal laws that are particularly pertinent to the advancement of humanity and your experience within the 12 realms and 12 dimensions at this time. You did not come to this planet of Gaia during a time of shift and ascension to be unconscious. Quite the contrary. So prior to this time, you could say to me, well, Raj, I was not aware. But now that disappears, does it not? And it is time for you, for each of you, in your divinity, in your wholeness, to actively engage with the law in every aspect of the law, and to do so in ways that are meaningful, not only to the collective, but to you. Because when you are operating in ways that are meaningful to you, when you are intending that which is a balance of love, of charity, of compassion for you, then of course it has the same reflection throughout all of your planet, all of humanity. The law of intent is kind. It is generous. It is sharing. It is joyous. It is tender. It is considerate. It is never selfish or arrogant. It is never excluding of others' well-being and development. For that would not be in alignment with the mother and with love. When I speak to you of intention, I wish to speak to you of intention on every single level. Your feelings. Yes, your emotional body. How are you holding, projecting, anchoring intention within your emotional body, within your mental body? You cannot anchor what you intend to bring forth, what the intention of your life is, your service, your pleasure, your joy, if you are holding contradictory thoughts. So the law of intent means that your mental body, your thoughts, your feelings, your emotional body are coming into that alignment with divine thought, mind, will, heart. There has to be consistency and congruence. There has to be constancy. Yes, I am one as your planetary logos, as keeper of universal law. I will speak in absolutes because the law is. It does not have variation. You cannot say, well, I'll accept a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It does not work this way. And that is what humanity is working. And that is what you are creating and altering in the reality of the human experience. The human condition, the experience, the creation work of humanity has been far too manipulated and convenient. And it has been intent by ego rather than intent by love. And you have learned and you have experienced and you have been brokenhearted because you see that that does not work. It does not even begin to work. It does not even begin to serve. So now I speak to you, and I ask you. You have just been given the vision of your sacred purpose. Is it in alignment with the totality of who you are? Every thought, every action, every friendship, every collegial association. How do you behave? What are your relationships like? What does your action reflect? What does your behavior reflect? Is it in complete alignment with your intentions for what you wish to achieve, what you wish to experience, and what you have agreed to do. If it is not in that alignment, then, dear heart, you are out of balance. Now, is this cause for alarm? No. It is cause for simple correction. Bring yourself back. Of course I will help you. That is my joy, and that is my purpose. And yes, Gabrielle is helping as well. She is bringing you back to the place of centeredness. Now, let me share my understanding. There are many of you who have avoided being centered and balanced. And you have equated being centered and balanced and in alignment with being boring. That you want to be unique and different, perhaps a little quirky. But that is ego. How you express the beauty, the excitement, and yes, the uniqueness of who you really are, which is much grander than any ego thought. How you express this is by being in the center, by being in the core of your sacred self, of being the reflection of who you really are, not some fantasy that changes week to week, year to year. There is nothing more magnificent, more grand than the expression of your truth. It is far greater than any costume or job or persona that you can adopt. And this centeredness begins to give you the insight to operate and create in ways that you desire. You cannot create when you are out of balance, when you are in fear, angst, anger, disappointment, despair, lack, or thinking that you are in control. It is not possible. Now, I am giving you an assignment. And yes, this will become a regular occurrence during this series. For I take my role as planetary logos and teacher of the universal law very seriously. I ask each of you over the next week to go back and again and again and again to reflect, to listen, to hear, to read, and to expand your understanding of what your intent is. What is the intent that you had prior to coming? And what is your intent right now in terms of your progression through ascension? What is it your soul demands of you? What is the heartfelt request that your universal self is making of you? And from this, you begin to feel the alignment into your actions, your behaviors, your wishes, your dreams, your creations. If you do not know the truth of your intentions, just as if you do not know your sacred purpose, how do you proceed? You are wandering around in the dark. It is not for me to tell you. Oh, I will whisper in your ear during meditation, but I mean in this form. It is not my role to tell you what your sacred intent is, because it is also one of the most joyous discoveries of your life. And there are many layers and facets to this. So do not think it is just one line. Take that one line and build upon it, my sweet angels of light. We are here to assist. We have always been here to assist. But now, it is time, as Archangel Michael has said, we are upping the ante. Dear heart, where do you wish to begin?
Thank you, Raj, so much for being here with us again. I'm really appreciating this topic because it feels as though the hidden but emerging power that humans have is intention coupled with imagination. So for me, trust is playing a huge part in this unfolding because I have no solid evidence that the far-out visions in my imagination are having effect. So when we intend to send light to someone or some situation, and we imagine it in our mind's eye, and it happens to be part of our soul agreement to do such a thing, what else factors into the equation to bring our intentions to fruition?
Intention is the beginning of creation. And we have spoken of this formula and the collection of the creation codes. But shall we say embedded within intention is inspiration and imagination. It also includes not simply an idea, but the actions that are congruent, the behaviors, the heart's desires that are congruent. So, for example, as you are saying, if you have the intention that you wish to send healing, and you imagine that light and love traveling out at the speed of love, then you are in alignment and you are expressing your intent. So you have already begun to implement the actions. But inside of that is also the implementation of the intention. So you are starting to bring it to fruition. If you have the idea, if you have, now notice I am speaking, you have worked with false grids. Let me back up a little bit. You have worked a great deal with false grids. Now you are working with universal law. There will be groupings that I will bring to you. So think of it as the I group, intent, ideas, imagination, infusion. All of these are part of intent. Intent is your starting point. Once you have established the intimate relationship with your sacred purpose. So yes, you hold intent. It isn't something that you do for 10 minutes a day. Now you may take 10 minutes at the start of your day to anchor the clarity of intent. intention for your day, intention for your week, intention for your behavior, intention for what you choose to receive throughout the day, how you wish to interact with others, the inspiration you wish to receive. So you set the intent, but you carry that around like an amulet around your neck all day long, each and every day. And you have carried your intention for this and every lifetime for eons. So it is already embedded deep within you. It is simply bringing it into your conscious reality and your everyday activity. That is part of the reason why we are speaking about intent right now. It is about bringing it into your world and letting it be reflected by the divine qualities. Because the expression of intent, your intent, which is part of divine intent, is never cruel, is never unfair, is never unkind.
Beautiful.
Does this answer your question?
Yes, it does. And if I could just get just one little tiny bit of extra confirmation here that, you know, all my work is in the invisible realms of light and energy with intention and imagination. So I just want to confirm that it's enough, okay, to bring about significant positive change, that overt physical action is not always necessary.
That is absolutely correct.
Beautiful.
And yes, you have added another I, invisible.
Right.
A great deal of the work of transformation that is taking place upon this planet is not seen. So it is difficult, and it is an act of trust of faith when you say, for example, I am sending energy to Robert Mugabe, and that the heart opening and that the people of this nation are free to express, to thrive, to grow, to shift.
Yes.
And then you see that there is a change in this leadership. And you think, it worked? Or do you think, gee, I hope I was part of that? What I am asking you is to celebrate the victories of the unseen and invisible. When you note a shift, a change, and it is often subtle, and sometimes it is very obvious, celebrate it. You do not take, and I do not just mean you, my sweet Suzanne. I mean all of you. You do not take enough credit for the work you do. So this is part of the difficulty. You think, I work and work and work. I send. And where is my proof? But the proof is there. So when you witness it, when you see a change in attitude, behaviors, or nation states become more compassionate, more open, say to yourself, I did that. Take the credit. Celebrate, not in an ego sense, but in the sense of a job well done. Please, we're asking you to do this.
Well, it would be, you know, it's certainly a lot easier to do that when you do see the change, but when the change is not evident, for example, in physical situation, if someone is suffering from illness or some kind of pain in the body. Okay, so we do our work and we set our intentions and we, you know, ask for the energy to come through us, and we may even explore what the unseen powers are that contribute to this. And if it doesn't change, then what do we do with that?
That is a good question as well. Because when you send the energy, and it doesn't matter whether it is to heal a broken body or a broken heart or a shattered nation, you also have to realize that there is the ability to reject on the part of the recipient. You have to realize that you are not in complete control. You are a contributor, not a controller, and that there is a divine plan of unfoldment. So think of it in this way. Every person, whether it is an individual in hospital, or an individual who is head of state, an individual who believes themselves to be in dire straits, they all are in a situation where they, can we say, are in desperate need to receive. But if their hearts in that moment say no, then that is accepted. It is the free will. We will never interfere with. But let us also explain, because you say, what happens when you don't see results? Let us also explain, and we do this as well, by the way, how it works. There are two things that happen. First of all, the energy that you send, the energy of love and healing, is never wasted. That is one of the new rules. That is one of the law of intent. If your intent is to send healing energy, then that is what happens. Mm. Two things happen. It goes to others, plural, who are praying for healing. So they receive the answer to the prayer that they have been making, to the plea that they have sent out. The other thing that happens, and this is part of what we also are doing, is that that energy, so think of it, as the sun. Now the rays of the sun are going out and healing others, and the sun is still standing at the doorway of that individual that you have sent to. Now with your sun, adds Linda's sun, adds my sun, adds Gabriel's sun, adds Michael's son, adds the mother's son, adds the healing team's son, and eventually what happens is the power is so strong, it breaks down and melts that wall. Mm. So don't think that because you do not see the immediate results, that it is not having its effect. It is. The other thing that is happening, and that is why we are so keen for you to understand the universal laws, is that energy, the speed of which energy is traveling, the unfoldment of the plan of the mother, the unfoldment of you, the unfoldment of your ascension, the unfoldment of love is speeding up. So things that in previous times may have taken decades, you are going to see occur rather rapidly. And things that have been in the works for decades or even hundreds of years are going to come to completion and fruition very rapidly. So do not stop with your intent, thinking, well, I have been doing this and it has not been working. Because also understand, the intent, your intent, is what you do. So if your intent is to send the energy, then you do it. Because that is your intent. Your intent is not formulated on the outcome. The outcome is the feeling in your heart of knowing that you have done exactly what you had agreed to do. And for you, for example, your intent and your purpose is to work in the invisible realm.
Right. So every day presents a new opportunity to relax into trust and faith. And that's
yes.
The bottom line.
And to celebrate. So don't always look for the results. Celebrate also. I did what I was supposed to do today, what I intended to do, what was in alignment with my sacred self and the universe.
You know, that's the missing piece for me, so I really appreciate you saying that, to celebrate what I do. That's a really good, that's a really good message. Thank you for that.
You are welcome, dear heart.
So are we ready for some callers?
I am. Are you?
I am. Thank you so much. And so we are on to Charisse. You are on the air. Good morning. Hello. Oh, you've been waiting for so long and you're not even answering. All right, we'll get back to you. All righty. And here we go. 248, Jelena, are you with us? Oh.
Yes, I am.
Oh, good.
Hello, thank you.
Right. Excellent. Thank you. You're on the air.
I tried to call in later today so others could have the opportunity to ask. Hey, I tried. I think my question is really getting more clear about the nature of intent. Is basically underneath the intent, and maybe it's, I don't know, is it really contingent on, I don't mean contingent, but is it really founded on self-worth? There's a line.
There is an element of self-worth involved, but let us be clear. If you are saying it is contingent or founded upon or dependent upon anything, it is simply dependent upon knowing and becoming more and more familiar with your sacred purpose. Now, one of the elements of what you are doing in eliminating this false grid, this cancer of society, of the human collective, of lack of self-worth, is the belief that no matter what you intend, it will not come to pass. Well, I am offering you a workaround. When you go and you align yourself with the sacred universal law of intent, and you ask that everything you do, think, feel, believe, be in alignment with that sacred law of intent of which your intent is part. And then you keep to that practice daily, hourly. It will eliminate these feelings of lack. Because what happens is you become more anchored, more enmeshed in the fiber of truth.
Okay.
Because the laws are the truth of God. You cannot be in the truth and hold a belief system that is not in alignment with truth. And lack of self-worth is not in alignment with any truth. It is part of the old.
Beautiful. Thank you, Delina.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Farewell.
Okay, we are on to area code 810. Are you with us?
Yes, how you doing?
Good. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, she already kind of touched on it about being boring and quirky, but I guess I, as a young person, I kind of want advice for, like, so many people. It, like, as being a college student, so many people want to be on the level of being, you know, drunk. I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what my intent is, but being surrounded by people that are always getting drunk, I mean, I guess I want some advice.
The intent of being drunk, and it doesn't matter whether it is alcohol or drugs or ego, because they are all the same. Well, there are variations on a theme. When you are using excessive alcohol or drugs, what you are doing is you are trying to escape from your intention and from your sacred purpose. You are depressing yourself and you are repressing the truth of who you are. So while there is this ego statement of, I am in the process of discovering myself, I am allowing the artist, the philosopher within, to explore themselves. In fact, what you are doing is you are putting yourself, and this is true of college students, seniors, and middle-aged people, you are putting yourself in a position where you are limiting your scope, your imagination, your inspiration. You are shutting yourself down. You are shrinking yourself. So, how do you reach a place where you are finding, where you are enjoying the experience of college and not engaging in behaviors that are basically self-defeating? Dear heart, it is a matter of finding the balance and the middle way. I am not suggesting to you that you never imbibe a beer or a glass of wine, but it is a matter of finding the middle way. And it is a matter of invoking the law of transmutation so that when you are sipping that beer, that it is not giving you deleterious effects as well. You have not learned this enough yet, so you're not quite there. But you are getting there. We want you to enjoy and to celebrate the experience. And we use the word college, not education. Because in college, there are many factors. There is the education, there is the learning, there is expansion, new ideas, new experiences, new feelings, new environments, new friends, new enemies. What you are learning is the microcosm of how you wish your life and your creations to proceed. So do you want it to proceed in a drunken haze where you don't even remember and you aren't really having fun because you feel sick the next day? Or are you proceeding in a way that you are partaking of the fun, the friendships, the new ideas, but it is in a way that's serving you and therefore serving every person on that campus? Find the balance. Be the leader instead of a follower.
Okay, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome, dear heart. Enjoy yourself.
All right, great. Okay, so we are on to area code 704. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask, I've enjoyed this so much. I recently had an opportunity come my way to do like readings online, and I'm very conflicted about it. So I know that it matches an intent that I have said in the past, and I've been sort of figuring that out. But I was just curious to see some advice.
If it is not, the idea is not bringing you joy. If it is not bringing you excitement, if it is not giving you that sense of deep fulfillment, dear heart, then it simply is not part of your intent for this portion of your journey.
Mm. Thank you. That's a very clear answer. It fits some things, but not others, and that's exactly
then
right.
Then do not proceed until it is in alignment with what you really want to do. It may be a past intent, it may be a future intent for part of your journey, but if the joy is not there, if the excitement isn't there, if the desire to create the space to do this in a way that is enriching, not only monetarily, but to your very soul, then it is not a green light.
Okay, thank you very much. That brings a lot of clarity.
Awesome. You are welcome, sweet angel.
All right, beautiful. So we are on to area code 303. Are you with us?
Yes. Hi there.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Hi. So I know very clearly my purpose, and my intent is really clear, which is to work with more clients one-on-one. I have some current life circumstances that are also really connected to me manifesting those clients in order to sustain myself. And so I'm just curious as to anything else that I can possibly do in allowing this to happen, because I know that it's aligned with my soul's purpose right now.
Yes, this is a very good question. I am glad that you have brought this forward. Intent, there are many branches on this tree, and there are many leaves and many twigs. So I am very grateful you have brought this to the attention of everybody. So think of your sacred purpose as the trunk of the tree, the roots of the tree. Your primary intention is also in the trunk of the tree. But what you are saying is that some of your branches also need to be brought into that alignment with your larger intent. So your intent, your primary intent and understanding is anchored. Now what I ask of thee, what I guide you to do, what I recommend is to work with the variety of circumstances, and what I am suggesting to you, there are about four, actually, that need to come into alignment as well. So I intend, for example, that I have the perfect physical setup, location, nest, facility in which to offer my services. I intend that helpful people, cooperative people, collegial people are available to me to assist in this. I intend that the flow of individuals who will benefit from my particular talents will be stepping forward. So work on breaking down the levels and the branches of the intent, so that then you can go to your tree and pick and enjoy the fruit.
Okay. Beautiful. Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay.
You are welcome.
All right. We are going to try Charisse again. Are you with us, Charisse? Hello, hello? Hello? Ah, too bad. Okay. All right. We will try. Let's see. All right. Area code 970. Are you with us?
Good morning. It's Judy. Thank you so much for all of this. Boy, talk about a stew pot with lots of yummy stuff. Each time I dip the spoon in, I go, holy cow, I forgot parsnips are in the bottom. So when I hear all the things that we're talking about, and it kind of piggybacks onto the previous caller, the different areas, for example, it's my intent to go to Joshua Tree. So I look at this cash and go, so here's some taxes, here's some this, here's some that. So it's my intention to make it all work, to juxtaposition things that, geez, they all seem to be priority right now. Could you talk with me a little about that, please?
Where is your intention, dear heart, to let abundance flow clearly?
It's in the forefront, and for some reason it seems to be wearing the hat of all the others. It looks like it needs to take a different position.
No, it is the breakdown of the various branches. So it is that the abundance is there to pay each and every bill, every commitment, and that there is so much left over that every dream, every desire is fulfilled. So stay in the intent and do not allow the lack or limitation issues to intrude.
Operate from the higher part, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though the coffers right now are a little thin and the deadline for things are looming.
Think of it this way. And yes, we are using this analogy of the tree because it seems to serve the conversation today. When the tree is thirsty and there hasn't been rain for several days or weeks, it puts its roots deep into Gaia. And this is what I am suggesting to you. Put your roots deep into Gaia and draw up the moisture, the minerals, the richness that are there for you to call upon. The tree does not forget that all is there. Otherwise, it would wither and die. And dear heart, we have no desire to see you wither and die, not through the tax evasion or the financial constraints or the not being able to follow your dreams. Put your roots down. Anchor firmly and pull it up. Then go to the top of your tree and receive from the great central sun and the heart of the mother what you want. Intend, open, receive.
Beautiful.
And as we speak, I see firewood has been stolen off my porch. So I don't desire that. Is it someone else's need and lack? I'm like, holy cow, can this be happening?
It is your soul agreement to share. You always share. So you have given away wood. What do you open your heart to receive?
Wow.
That balance, dear heart.
Wow. To ponder all this, thank you all so much. I love you. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Have a great day.
Farewell.
All right. Wonderful. Okay. Area code 828. Are you with us?
Yes, thank you very much.
Hi, you're on the air.
I think you may have already answered the question, but I was wondering, what does one do when a tsunami of fear overcomes when you're intending, you're trying to do your dreams, and you keep getting impasses? How does one deal with that? Is there a prayer that one can utilize? And I'm saying a massive amount of fear coming over, you know, before you make that jump to get out there and do your thing. Does that make sense?
And the fear freezes you?
Yes.
So understand and look at it. The thing about fear, which is the twin of anger, because very often when you are afraid, you also get angry that things have not materialized or manifested. The thing about fear is it freezes you in place, and it also then calls upon its cousin doubt, which will gnaw at your very heart. So you have put yourself, and I do not say this in a way of criticism, you have simply put yourself in a place where it is very difficult to escape, but it is not impossible, and it can be done as quickly as this. I have not taught you yet the law of elimination, so we will not go there, but I will invoke Archangel Michael, and you can use his sword. Think of fear as being tied up, chained down, incapacitated, tied to the railway tracks, and you see the train is coming, or you believe the train is coming, because mostly fear is not about truth. It is about illusion, and it is about ego. And ego wants to stay in control. And so what you are doing is you are allowing ego to run rampant and to bring you every excuse under the rainbow about what won't work, what you can't be capable of, what you can't accomplish. If you can look at this with me right now and laugh, it will dispel the fear. Then take the sword of Michael, invoke Archangel Michael, and let him cut all the ties that bind, all the ties, because it limits you, and you were never intended to be limited. So make your intention, your primary intention, in alignment, invoking the sacred law of intent, the intent that all fear, all limitation, all feelings of inadequacy be eliminated right now.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Farewell. Okay, we are on to area code 860. Are you with us?
Hi.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I think I understand my intents and my purpose of this life, and I offer my body, my mind, and my soul to the universe, the mother. And but I always fear, you know, why I couldn't just keep this belief, understand love is only truth. All the other things are the illusion. I always feel attacked. And I feel, I just feel, am I on the right path, or give me some any advice? And why couldn't believe, even if that's invisible energy, invisible universal law, why we couldn't? Many people around me couldn't believe it.
But dear heart, simply do what I have asked the previous caller to do and use the sword of Michael and cut away these illusions of fear. And if you want a very practical discussion about universal law and why people do not believe it, look to your own laws, the laws of your country. They are fashioned on the laws of the universe. Have they lost their way? Have they become bastardized? Yes. But the original intent of human law, of fairness, of equality, of freedom to create, was based on universal law. So simply choose any law, and you will see a human law, and it is a reflection. The elements of the divine law are in there. So for any human to suggest that universal law does not exist is simply denial, and that is not something you wish to participate in.
Okay, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Be brave. Be outspoken.
Beautiful. Okay, Raj, we have about a minute left. Have you got anything to say in closing? And what are we going to talk about next week?
We are going to talk about the law of within and without, above and below. And we have been talking about this